Welcome to Geographical Thinking, a podcast full of ideas, stories, and conversations through the lens of geography. I'm your host, Guan Yu. Edmundston is a city in northwestern New Brunswick. Home to more than 16,000 residents, the city is a few kilometers from the border with Quebec and has a neighbor U.S. city, Madawaska, Maine, just across a river from its downtown core. According to the 2016 Canadian Census, Edmundston is highly bilingual. About two-thirds of the population speaks both English and French. The city has an initiative called Imagine Edmundston. It gathered ideas from citizens for their 10-year municipal plan and built out the city according to a lot of the input. Joining me today to share more is the coordinator of geomatics for Edmundston's City Hall, Danielle Arsenault. Hi, Danielle. Welcome to Geographical Thinking.
Hi, Guan. How's it going?
Good, good. How would you describe Edmundston for those who haven't been there?
I would describe Edmundston as a beautiful, great living, diverse community where residents really love their city. Edmundston has a great potential, in my mind, to become one of the best places to work and raise a family affordably in the Maritimes. We're pretty much buzzing, a buzzing city all four seasons long. Either it's on our ski hills or on various biking or recreative trails or numerous parks and green spaces in the city. And we just basically love the outdoors. So we're a very active community. And by that, I mean we have numerous nonprofit sports, cultural organizations here, and they get a great support from the economics and the population as well. And the residents participate a lot in whatever activities going on here around in town, and we just help each other a lot. And our vision in the city is to be open and inclusive, sustainable and prosperous. So that's the motto of the city.
Indeed, it sounds very dynamic. I'm curious to visit one day. Tell us, what is Imagine Edmundston?
So Imagine Edmundston is it's actually a two-step initiative at the city that was part of our regular municipal plan that's on a 10-year cycle. And basically, it's the first step with a goal to facilitate the exchanges between citizens and the city staff and to freely open have an exchange of ideas and let the residents and the business owners into the city, you know, dream a little bit about things they would like and really without boundaries, either it's little things or great things, initiative or things that the city could do to improve its vitality and the quality of life of its residents. So all of this with small to big ideas, and also to pinpoint actually where in the city they would like to see some of those things or those ideas. And one of the process also was to make sure that things or ideas could be submitted anonymously. That was also an important piece for the process for us. So this process helped the plan makers to grasp what residents wanted in order to shape the future development of our city. So no ideas were rejected, and everybody could see all the submissions as well.
Getting ideas from citizens sounds like a quite standard process for city planning, but Edmundston really did something innovative about it. Tell us a bit more how you ask the residents to submit their ideas. What's the process like? What's the tool that you used?
We had two tools in the process, but the first real tool of Imagine Edmundston, really we ended up making it was kind of like a crowdsourcing app and also with a story behind it. And basically we were just asking residents to select an area of the city and also attach an image of exactly what they would have liked to see. So if the things they would see elsewhere that they would have dream of having something like that within their city, and we would ask a little bit of info on what is it for them and what does it mean for them, and to actually place the pin on the map within the city also where they would have liked something like that.
That sounds really interesting. So you asked the resident to encapsulate their imagination of their future city in an image and then drop that image at the location where they want to see that happen. That's really neat. I heard in the process or born out of this initiative is a project that you have to resurface or redo a downtown street. What happened there?
So what we ended up doing is really the Imagine Edmundston piece of the process was really the early phase of the consultation with the municipal planning, where we've asked, you know, input to Without Borders, where we could dream or what they wanted. And the second step of the process really was to try to take some of those ideas and really put them in action and actually take some of those ideas and actually do them within the city and pick some of those ideas and just make them happen. So that year we had a second step of the process that we branded Réalise Edmundston, which means realizing ideas or things like that. So we called this consultation process that brand, and really the intention was to facilitate exchanges between the citizens and the city staff regarding very specific chosen development projects within the city. So we had major big ones. We just picked one big one that was really important happening downtown. So we took that project and we said we really want to have citizens participate in what we called an innovation labs, which was translated into apps and consultation applications, where citizens and the street users could learn about the development projects themselves. Why were they important? Why are we doing those projects? Either it's infrastructure that's being aged or things like that, and really have them getting directly involved into the early planning stages of those projects. So what this Réalise Edmundston process did for us is we developed alternatives that are established according to the principles of the municipal development plan. And by that, I mean things like we want walkability, we want safety pedestrian conditions, we want a ton of things that go in line with the municipal vision, and we allowed them to comment on them, and it was an opportunity to propose original solution to the specific issues of the sector, you know, concerning the development that's there.
So for the downtown street revitalization, what are some of the challenges you encountered at the beginning of this project?
Well, into that project, really, which was the first one, the first innovation lab that we did, was way back into the spring, winter season of 2020. Well, we were very well starting into the engineering phase of this major underground infrastructure project for this complete rehabilitation of a street in our downtown core. We really intended at that time to include the residents that's in the streetscape design into the summer with, you know, on-site events and various. There's plenty of things that we wanted to do physically at that location onto the street, but COVID really quickly removed that option of consultation for us. We still had a major construction project to achieve into that summer and the fall to do. We had tenders to go out and very, very things that needed to be done into a sequence. But regardless of this COVID situation, we still had the intention of involving the public into the process. So we ended up leveraging GIS tools basically to keep our plans on schedule and just fully consult the population into the spring process that we wanted to do. And we ended up doing is creating a story map to put the citizens in perspective of why we were doing this, why we were doing that street in that specific street, present them with general management concepts, you know, about green spaces, about pedestrian accessibility, about traffic calming, and a bunch of other variables that you could encounter when you use a street. And we basically presented five completely different streets. So, and by that, I mean, trees were at different locations. The grass areas were at different locations. The crosswalks were different and at different places on the street. The sidewalks were at various locations, close to buildings or far to buildings or things like that. And also show them where the parking spots really, even up to that point, that was on the street, because this is important for the business community as well. And one of those alternatives as a trade-off for something. So in a sense where you say, I want more parking, then directly you have probably less green area. Or if you say you want more straight roads with less traffic calming measures, then you have more speed of the vehicles that are circling onto that road. And we basically have let the population vote and decide which alternative they wanted for their streetscape. So we also gathered information using Survey123, asking them on the importance that the various variables have for them. So is green area important? Is parking spot availability more important than pedestrian safety and so on and so forth? So whatever they decided is what we have built that summer. And it was all done virtually, basically.
Wow. So you came up with five different scenarios of this street. You put it in a story map, a digital, you know, file, and present it to your citizens around the area. But it's still COVID-19 time. You can't meet and talk with anyone. How did you get the word out to let people know that where they could look up these information and to vote?
Into our municipal planning process, we even before we did the apps, we started with a big promotion campaign that we really wanted that municipal plan to be consultation driven and talking to our citizens. So we basically branded our consultation process as Imagine Edmundston. Yes, we had an app that was called Imagine Edmundston, but the whole concept of consulting citizens, we branded it Imagine Edmundston, and it was just everywhere into the city during that year. And like the city's social media, it was on billboards at public spaces. We had QR codes everywhere to the city. We mailed information to citizens with addresses and QR codes that they could go to. We had, listen to this one. We had bought like 20 colored lawn plastic chairs. And each one of those chairs, we would set them up somewhere into the city. And they had stickers of Imagine Edmundston with a QR code on the chairs. And those chairs had Imagine Edmundston written on them with codes. And just every week, we would move those chairs at a different location into the city. And people were just looking at that, and just it created some kind of a buzz where we could, the whole statement was to say, you know, at this area, you can dream of something that we can make to the city. And without any time, it made a buzz into the city, and people were calling to say, can we have the chairs in front of my business for that week, or can we put it into the park? And people started using those chairs, and it just made a big buzz around those things. And when we launched the platform, Imagine Edmundston, the city, we deliberately put like 20 IDs within the platform, so that when the first ones would open the platform, there was something into it that they could look at and inspire them to put some more. And those ideas, we went into kids' classes and we asked them what they wanted for their city. And basically those 10 ideas were the kids' ideas. And that summer, we actually took 10 of those ideas and we actually made them with the kids. So it was things like, you know, they wanted to paint games on the sidewalk. So we were the crew of city, and where we right into the buzz of downtown, we started painting games on sidewalks and we started painting fire hydrants. They wanted a big foam party right in the street. We did that, you know, and it just made a buzz around the city that, you know, people knew what imagination was and that it was a process to really have the citizens imagine what they would like for the city. And to, at least that, you know, what the things that they dreamed, there was an opportunity that some small things could make a big difference and they could be done. So,
Wow, that is really fun. Like at the beginning, you said it's dynamic, but I think it's even beyond dynamic. It is a really fun and fluid place and colorful with tiers of different colors moving around the city. And it sounds like the public engagement level is really high even before you launch any kind of the surveys or reaching out people for ideas. It's through the whole process that people are informed and engaged and are given fun ways to participate and also seeing some of the ideas being realized. Now, back to this downtown street project, what's the uptake like? How many people have viewed the story map you put out for those five scenarios, and how many people responded to the survey?
Actually, the Imagine Emerson one at the early process, that one we've had like I think close to 200 ideas that came in with pictures and everything and a pin. So that was already a big thing for us. But the actual infrastructure project on Realize Edmonton, it was hundreds for sure. I can't give you an exact number, but it was hundreds of people that really took the time to fill in the survey and to choose a scenario, and thousands of people visited the app.
Yeah. Wow. And that's a big number in comparison to the total population of the city. How do you look at the data, and what's the, how do you look at the data and the raw inputs from your citizens and make a decision of one of the fives that you presented?
We, like when people were actually filling in the surveys, it was important for us to be transparent into the process. So when they exited the survey, they were voting for one alternative. Directly, 2 seconds after they hit submit, they could see a live chart of what other people that has submitted the surveys. So you could see what directly after a response, what was the trend of the scenarios that the people wanted on that sense. So to us, it was important to be transparent throughout the process, not just to gather data, look at it at a meeting in City Hall and say we want scenario D. No, there's one of the reasons why we gathered information on which criteria is important to us. We looked at that piece a lot in consideration that, okay, really the citizens, for them, active transportation is really important. That criteria to us has maybe more weight than the availability of parking spot on the street, you know. So we've sort of took a look at the two, but in the sense, the scenario that was chosen was ticking all of those boxes. So we didn't have to make that tough balance between, you know, what do they like and what scenario was chosen. So it ended up well on that sense. And we built the most popular alternative is what we've built.
And tell us a little bit more about the scenario that was chosen, the popular one.
Basically what we've learned from that one is the people wanted the traffic to go low speed onto that street. So we took speeding measurements before, and the circulation was going really fast, the cars. So we wanted to do something that would put that would calm the traffic down. So we did a big swerve right into the middle of the street. So physically, you need to really slow down into the street to because there's an impediment of a traffic calming right into the middle. And we've used that impediment to make a safer crosswalk as well. So we did a diagonal crosswalk that was all like a big elevated curb that was going literally within the street. So it was raising the pedestrian and it's really safer to cross there. They wanted more green areas. We provided that. And before, the sidewalks, I think, were closer to the homes and to the business. And we ended up putting a green band between the houses and the sidewalk. So
the people ended up voting for a more pedestrian-friendly street.
Yeah.
Overall.
Safer, yeah.
So this street redevelopment project is one of many out of the Imagine Edmonton initiative. The city invites people to attach pictures and descriptions on a digital map to share their thoughts. And you mentioned that there are more than 200 entries. How many of those entries did the city end up building or putting in the plan of being built?
I would say closely over 50 were done for sure. Yeah.
Wow. So half of the input from the citizens were either being built or in the plan to be developed.
Yeah, at least a third at least or something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us about some of your favorite entries.
On my end, I really liked that it really came from citizens. Traffic calming crosswalks. In our city, we have over close to 150 crosswalks. We're a small town, but there's a lot of crosswalks present, and not a lot of them were really protected crosswalks. So really, we had a lot of traction, like especially around like school zones and things like that, parks areas that they really wanted something that would really make a difference on the safety of crosswalks. So we ended up doing a bunch of them. Probably murals painted right on the side of buildings. We have a bunch of those downtown. They're beautiful. I mean, they're really amazing. If someday you pass into the city, come downtown and you'll see them. Big digital billboard right at the main city entrance. That was a project that was sort of into the mumbles for quite a while, but really that Imagine the Minston gave attraction to that project because it was a nice platform that we could expose ideas like that. Even if there were ideas that came from the city itself, they could be exposed right to the public and they would say, oh, you know, they want to do this. And so it got a lot of the people talking. So I really like that. That's built now. It's beautiful. It's right at the city entrance. It's a big digital thing with the city name on it. And it's got like a metal plates that swerve with the wind, and it's a big sign company that's based in town that actually built that structure, and it's beautiful. The skate plaza, so it's a big skate park, was an idea that came from young people into the city, and it also gave traction to their project being on that platform.
Have you tried it out yourself?
It's like they started building it last fall, and it's going to be finished probably this summer or this fall. So if I'm going to try it, I'm not sure, probably my son, but it's strange that I say that because I was actually doing skateboard when I was young also. But this is a great project. If I can just talk a little bit about it, this was a great project that was initiated by and led also by determined and dedicated group of young citizens that really brought a sustainable and solid project to the city council that they presented themselves, and they found really great partners on their own for the funding as well. And it should be a very beautiful place this summer for the kids to stay active.
Tell us more about this group and how did they come up with this idea?
Well, it came from them. I can't say what exactly they had a. Well, actually, I know. Yeah, they had a smaller park that was in downtown, but it was it was starting to get old, and also at its end of life state, as I could say. It was kind of like in a dark corner, and it was a bit isolated, and there was safety concerns with the kids. So they really wanted the park to be at a place where it was more in a family environment and adaptive to the area. So that's what this project came into. So they relocated where the old skate park was to a brand new facility that's in an area that's more family oriented, as I would say, and safer.
It must be amazing for people whose ideas are adopted and then being implemented along the way. I was thinking, since the beginning of Imagine Edmundston, do you notice that the engagement from the citizens, you know, there's a trend? Are more people drawn into it, made aware of their participation and how that could make a difference?
We think so. I mean, we the more and more we really try to be transparent and listen. Not everybody is happy. I mean, it's a city, and you can have the best idea in the world, but somebody is not going to like it. So we can't please everybody, but I think the things that came out of this is we don't need to do big things to make the citizens happy. So that's one of the things, just by looking at what types of ideas that were coming in, they were small things a lot of the times that to them it was important. And so, you know, if the city can do small things, why not? Why shouldn't we do it? You know, so we started to do them and listen and try to be transparent. I mean, it's people have always submitted ideas, but they were a conversation in a coffee shop, or why don't we do this at the city? Or I spoke to somebody working at the city. You should do this. You should do that. But now it was a railway, and it was a channel to put those things on board and to actually expose them to everybody at the same time, so that they could commonly, you know, try to steer into a direction of you know, this is what we really want. So
yeah,
it was the process.
Yeah. And GIS is one of the tools that you use to build that channel and build that platform. I was wondering if you have more thoughts of how it will be leveraged in the ongoing engagement process.
GIS, we do surveys all the time. Either it's environmental surveys, or we use Survey 123 for a lot of things. We use AVL applications we have an app that's showing our snowing operations live all the time. So you can see where they're plowing, with the past history of where they're doing. So the people are starting to get exposed to technology and sharing things, and an open data site is something that we have on our radar also that we want to do this year. Community map program also, we want to contribute to that program as well.
Lots more to come. Thank you very much, Daniel, for taking time out of your busy schedule to tell us about Imagine Edmundston.
You're welcome.
Daniel Arsenal is the coordinator of geomatics of Edmundston City Hall. You can learn more about the city of Edmundston, New Brunswick at edmundston.ca. That's edmundston.ca. This podcast is brought to you by Esri Canada, a technology company that empowers people and organizations by the science of wear. Bye for now.